You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
This past week has seen the government announcing plans to construct a facility for the storage of liquid natural gas. The plans have been criticised by activists, academics and opposition members who say it compromises our government's commitment to reducing emissions. Yesterday also saw David Seymour, ACT Party leader, making a speech on his thoughts on the state of the nation. The speech concluded with his stance that ACT believes there are five warning lights on the dashboard of New Zealand society and economy that must be overcome. For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court, I spoke to him about each of these issues, starting with the liquid natural gas terminal. I wanted to start off with the liquid natural gas stuff that the government's been talking about a lot recently. Why is this policy coming into place from the government's point of view?
Well, the reality is that when gas isn't available, the system often falls back on coal. And the modelling that the government's relied on to make this investment indicates that simply having reliable standby supply in the form of gas will take pressure off power prices and long-term reduce our reliance on coal. So from ACT's perspective, it's a really sensible resilience measure for now. But the long-term goal, of course, should still be restoring confidence in developing New Zealand's own indigenous gas resources so that we're less reliant on imports.
$1 billion, right? That's a lot of money to get this going. And the ACT Party's been talking over the past few years and moving up to this election as well about cutting government spend and reducing what it's doing there. How is this getting rationalised, this amount of money?
Well, in the end, it's consumers and energy users who are going to have to contribute to this cost. The modelling does show that in the long run, having greater security of supply will mean that we won't see these crazy peaks of short-term power prices rising to $800 a megawatt hour as they have in the past couple of years. And the long-run price sits somewhere between $160 and $200, which is reasonable. People can invest on that basis. But look, this is the cost of Jacinda Ardern and that 2017 to 2020 Labor-led government cancelling oil and gas exploration. We're now in a shortage because if you don't keep drilling, if you don't keep developing your well fields and bringing gas online as fields age out, then you end up with no gas. I mean, that's just physics. And cancelling oil and gas exploration before having an alternative like an LNG terminal built was one of those kind of virtue signalling absolutely crazy policies that all Kiwis have paid for through their energy bills over the past 6 years or so. Look, so it's not ideal, but that's the situation this government inherited, and we're turning it around.
Yeah, I want to get back to that in a moment, but first I want to talk about the price of this again. You say the cost is going to go on to consumers. The ACT Party's campaigned on, you know, cutting taxes, reducing the amount that people are paying for government services. Isn't this directly antithetical to the party's policies?
Well, this is not a government service. This is the government investing in infrastructure that all energy users and consumers will contribute towards. So, look, there are alternatives. The government has hundreds of billions of dollars worth of assets, including $12 billion worth, approximately, invested in existing electricity generators. What ACT would do, if it was up to us, is actually recycle that capital out of, say, Mercury, Genesis, and Meridian into new assets that we need. That's been ACT's policy for a long time, and I expect we'll be campaigning very hard to do that in this upcoming election. Because instead of borrowing money to pay for stuff, if you've already got stuff that you could sell and put that money into new infrastructure, that makes a lot of sense to Kiwis.
I want to get back to now the ban on oil and gas exploration. The government, the ACT Party as well, have been criticising this ban basically since it was announced. The issue there is that we're trying to phase out oil and gas, obviously, and you've mentioned that...
It's not obvious at all. That is a completely irrational thing to do.
No, from a climate change point of view, I mean, we should be reducing our emissions, no? That it's a logical thing to do.
Well, countries all have to pick their own path. But in the end, countries that choose to phase out or ban certain fuels because they're trying to achieve a climate ambition that makes their citizens poorer and actually increases their vulnerability to energy shocks, that country's not going to do well in the long run. That's why we've seen around the world countries that have made ambitious, over-ambitious, you know, dramatic commitments to reduce emissions are finding actually, like the UK, that their energy costs are the highest in the world. It's crippling their economy and destroying jobs, and you know, that can't continue. So ACT's always said that's what would happen. It did happen, and now we're fixing it.
Right, I'd like to counter that a little bit. You say that countries that transition out of oil and gas into renewable energy won't face good outcomes in the long run. However, also countries that are island nations surrounded by rising sea levels, surrounded by extreme weather conditions, are going to face similarly bad conditions in a climate-ravaged world. Is that not something we should consider when making these decisions?
I think it's important that we keep these things separate. If countries want to reduce their emissions by becoming more efficient and, you know, switching from coal to gas or gas to electricity, then they should do that. But we need to be very clear about where New Zealand is up to right now. We have much higher energy costs than we did six or so years ago. That has meant that large industries have closed, that people are out of jobs, and that even the cost of making bread, making pies, growing vegetables, actually supplying fertilizer into the market, which, you know, New Zealand actually makes fertilizer from natural gas here at Balance and Kapuni. All of these input costs have gone up. That's why New Zealanders are feeling, you know, cost of living crisis continues for many. And so we've got to separate these things. Of course, we must have a climate policy that, you know, sets out a pathway to reducing our emissions intensity, but that cannot possibly be at the expense of New Zealanders' well-being.
I want to move on now to David Seymour's State of the Nation speech from yesterday. A lot of things in the speech. I want to start off at the focus on youth. He talks a lot about how young people are not feeling confident in the economy, in society, in Aotearoa, and are moving overseas to places like Australia for better wages and whatnot. Is the government, you know, we've seen cuts to benefits for young people, we've seen record unemployment. Is the government really providing that much for young people at the moment?
Well, David's speech was very clear. There are warning lights flashing all over New Zealand's dashboard. We've got weak productivity. We've got rising cost pressures. We've just been talking about energy costs. And too many young people are questioning, you know, whether their future is here. Now, these pressures stem from a succession of governments that have become too large, too expensive, and too slow to deliver results. Now, government currently makes up about 40% of the spend in New Zealand. And David also warned against a drift to those divisive anti-success politics that focuses on blame, sees everything as a zero-sum game. These people are wealthy because you are not. If we take their wealth and redistribute it, if we tax landlords and, you know, rent will get cheaper. Look, none of those policies have worked anywhere in the world that they've been tried. They certainly haven't worked in New Zealand under previous regimes. And that's why David set out an alternative, you know, a structural reset of the machinery of government, cut the number of ministers to no more than 20, reduce the number of departments to no more than 30, and basically ensure accountability for each part of government that we actually need, only reports to a single minister. That's a starter for 10. That's what we'll be campaigning on this year.
There's also a bit in here about, I'm just going to read this quote. It is not just that inflation has driven up costs, it is that wages have not kept up with inflation. It's a very clear quote from David there, criticising the fact that wages haven't gone up enough. Is this the ACT Party committing to, you know, increasing the minimum wage this election?
Well, it's not the minimum wage that's the problem. In fact, the minimum wage went up by about 30% more than inflation under the previous Labor Greens and government, going back to 2017 to 2023. But employers who can't afford to pay it simply don't hire those workers. And what we also see is that unless productivity, in fact, the output that each worker produces per hour increases at least as fast as the wage rates increase, all that happens is all New Zealanders get poorer. so that the focus has to be on increasing productivity, whether that's investment in plant and equipment, you know, buying new construction equipment, buying new manufacturing equipment, investing in the latest technology in food service, for example, AI, which, you know, I've read reports and have contributed potentially to a 0.5 or 1% increase in GDP in the US in the last year. And we're only just getting started with AI. We have to become more productive. Government has to become more productive and much leaner as well.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court speaking to me about liquid natural gas proposals and the ACT Party leader David Seymour's State of the Nation speech.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.